Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm so excited you would spend Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And if you've been with us for any length of time, you know we're going through the book of Matthew. And so this morning, I want you to open up to the book of Psalms. So we're going to take just a short break this weekend. And I want to go through Psalm 1 today. And kind of like funny story, my introduction to the Psalms was I was playing for Team USA, and we were playing at the World Championships over in Germany, and we were heading into a medal round. And so all the guys were really nervous and uptight, and our team captain was a guy, Eddie Olchek, and Eddie knew I was the Jesus guy on the team, right? And so as we were on the bus driving over to the game, it was dead silent until Eddie Olchek says, hey, Ads, he says, I need you to read us one of those psalms. And so you and I, this morning, we're going to be in Psalm 1, all right? And so listen, the word psalm, it simply means song. And so what you have literally right in the middle of your Bible is a book of songs or poetry or wisdom. And so it's actually one of the largest books in your Bible. And get this, Jesus quoted the Psalms more than any other book in the Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? And so if the Psalms were good enough for Jesus, man, how much more important are they for you and I? And so we're gonna be in the Psalms. And before we get there, I just want to just highlight things that I think you already know is, can we agree that songs are unbelievably powerful? Like you can link songs to memory. I don't know if you've done that. I'm a late adopter, and so my family, we finally got Apple Music, all right, where you can just stream any song you want. Prior to that, man, we're buying all these songs. I'm like, this is way cheaper just to get the Apple Music. So we got the Apple Music, and here's what's funny. Have you ever done this? Like, I found myself going down rabbit trails I was doing all these 80s songs, and here it was crazy to me. I hadn't heard these songs in 20 years. And yet then when I started listening to him, I was fascinated that suddenly the lyrics started bubbling up into my mind and into my heart. And so that is the power of music. And get this. How about this? Have you ever got a song stuck in your head? Like it gets trapped. Like recently I just got Rickrolled. You know that Rick Astley song? Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you. Yeah. So that's stuck in my head, and now it's going to be stuck in your head. But don't you know that, like, advertisers, they know if they can get a song stuck in your head, this earworm, if you will, then you're going to be more likely to remember their products. And so many of you here, we learned this. See if you can track with me. If you're 30 and under, you won't know this. But for 30 and up, you will get this. I am stuck on Band-Aid and stuck on me. Right, there you go. Okay, here's another one. My baloney has a first name. It's OSCAR. There you go. You got it. Right. It's because what we get those things trapped in our head. Man, I haven't heard the Oscar Mayer commercial in a decade, and yet what we know right away what it is. And that songs, they help us to learn as well. I promise you, you would not have learned your ABCs if it wasn't for the ABC song. I would have never remembered I before E except after C. That's right. See, because so we see that song rhyme, it helps us to remember. It helps us to learn. I love this is Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer. You know, he struggled with deep, dark bouts of depression. And yet he says this, that music, it became kind of his salvation, that thing that could lift his spirits. Luther was quoted as saying this. He says, next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. Next to God's word, he says, music is the next best gift that God gives to people. And so music, it can lift us, can it? I don't know if you've ever like been to the gym and you're just not feeling it. Like the other day, I was just kind of exhausted. And normally I listen to podcasts while I'm working out, like of other people just speaking. And I'm trying to kind of always grow in my knowledge of the Word of God. But yesterday I was just like, hey, no podcasts, no talking. I just need some pump up jams in my ear. So what? Then suddenly energy, life, things start to come. In fact, growing up playing hockey, there was always someone was in charge of the boombox, and we would play the pump-up jams before every game. One year, I'm embarrassed to even expose this, but one year our team's pump-up song was the Pina Colada song. Do you remember this song? If you like pina colada, right? That one. And so that was our pump-up song. Needless to say, that team stunk. You know, the Psalms, they have pump-up songs. They're called the Psalms of Ascent. And the Jewish people on their way to Jerusalem, they would ascend up to Jerusalem. That's the city's elevated. And as they did, they would listen to the Psalms and sing the Psalms of Ascent. It was their pump-up jams. We know this, that music as well, it can be very cathartic, can it? Like it can minister to our souls. Like if you've ever had that deep, dark breakup, man, and your soul was crushed by a guy or a girl, and then what, like just maybe a song from Adele, you know, could help soothe and be that tonic for your broken soul. Or maybe you're just angry, and so you want to put on a Taylor Swift song, who said, what was her thing? We will never, ever, ever be together, right? That one. And so do you know that there's sad songs in the Psalms? In fact, 70% of the songs of the Psalms, they're psalms of lament. It's people pouring out their souls of sadness, and it becomes this cathartic thing that then the Lord can start to bring healing. I've heard it said like this, that the Psalms, they're a spiritual medicine cabinet, that depending on what you're needing, you can go to that spiritual medicine cabinet of the Psalms and get what you need. And so we're going to be in Psalm chapter 1 this morning. And listen, Psalm 1 is going to set the table for the entire book of Psalms. It's going to show us it's the theme. So before we get to the theme, you got to know about Philadelphia. So I was traded from the Carolina Hurricanes to the Philadelphia Flyers. I think this is back in 1999. And so got traded up to Philly. And so my wife and I had to change our driver's license from a North Carolina license to a Philadelphia driver's license. So we're going to do that. And so we go to the DMV, which is always lots of fun. And all God's people said, amen. And so we go to the DMV, and my wife passes right away. She passes the test. I'm in there. I failed the first one. Failed the second one, and so it's three strikes, so you're out. So here I am seated to do the third test. My daughters were there with us, and they're like, Daddy, why is mommy all done, and you're still going? So I took them in the bathroom and spanked them. No, I didn't really, okay? But so now I'm nervous for this test, and I get down through it's multiple choice, and as I'm going down, the computer tells me I get to the last question. I gotta get this question right. It's pass or fail, okay? And so I'm really nervous. And luckily, the person that was administering the test, she was a Philadelphia Flyers fan. So she's going to help a brother out. And so she's sitting there, and she's like, well, which one do you think it is? And I'm like, I feel like it's C. She says, go with your instinct. Hey, and I pass. So praise the Lord. All right? So here's why I say that. See, the theme for Psalm 1 is going to be this. That there's two paths that you're going to face in your life, two roads to travel. You can go the path to life or the path to death, the way of this world or the way of the Lord. But it's coming upon us that we need to choose. And here's God's appeal to us and my appeal to you this morning. Choose life. Choose life. Do you know, it's estimated that on any given day that we as human beings, we make 35,000 decisions. And you are the sum total of all those decisions. And here's what my appeal to you and the Word of God's appeal is, let's choose life. Let's choose the ways of God in life. The Bible beats this drum over and over and over again. Moses says it in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He says this. He says, behold, I set before you blessing and life or cursing and death. He says, choose. That Joshua says it in Joshua 24, verse 15, says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Will it be God or will it be man? And like Joshua, he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to choose life. Jesus says it in John 14, verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so God's appeal is, let's choose the way of life. Do you know that the word of God and the ways of God, it's objectively clear that they lead to life. And so it's a simple choice. It's just not always easy to do, right? I mean, it's objectively clear. Even people that don't know Jesus agree that the ways of God are right. So, for example, I'll share with you. Do you know that there's an atheist columnist for the London Times? His name is Matthew Paris, and he did an entire column. And listen what he says. He says, as an atheist, I truly believe Africa needs God. See, he had researched and studied and seen how missionaries seem to be able to change the culture and systemically change places from poverty and death to flourishing in life. And they said what? It was because the gospel and evangelical Christians were able to bring lasting systemic change. Charles Colson, in his classic book, The Faith, he references a study done by the Chinese. And the Chinese were studying and they wanted to know why America flourished as a nation. And so they were pontificating. Was it their military? Was it our political system? What was it that accounted for Americans flourishing? And here's what they came to. They concluded this: it's our Christian underpinnings. That it's walking in the ways of the scripture that led way to human flourishing. And if I haven't beat this drum sufficiently enough, then let me do this. Let's do an experiment. I want you to take this next week, and we'll converge next Sunday, and I want you to do the opposite of the Ten Commandments. So I want you to steal, I want you to kill, commit adultery, lie, covet other people's things. Just do that, and then let's converge next week, and I want to hear how your life's going. Please don't do that. I'm joking. But if you were to come back, if you were to do those, you would either be dead, in jail, divorced, or all of the above. Okay? Why? Because the commands of God, the word of God, are about leading us into human flourishing. And so your Bible open to Psalm 1. I'm going to read Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6, and it reads like this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drive away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked, they will perish. They will perish. And so, really, I got to just three big ideas for us today as we break down Psalm 1. And basically, the psalmist is teaching us this, that there's three ways we journey down either the path of life or the path of death. And did you catch what it was? It was you're either walking, standing, or sitting. Walking, standing, or sitting. So you're either walking, you're pursuing something, you're standing, you're passive, or you're seated, you're planted. All right, and that's where we're headed here. And so let's look at number one, is this idea of walking. And so the psalmist says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And so you and I, we're constantly pursuing something, either pursuing the way of life or the way of death. And so let me take you back in time. 1988, I was at the Olympic Festival in Houston, Texas. And what that was a, like a precursor to the Olympics, and it was kind of like a tryout for Team USA, and it was fantastic. During the opening ceremonies, Carl Lewis was there, 9-time gold medalist. Carl Lewis, and I was kind of in the parade next to him, and I was like, you know, I was playing all cool. Yo, what's up? I'm 19 years old, right? I'm like, yo, Carl, what's up, man? And we do the handshake thing, and he's thinking, what a cute little kid, right? And so anyways, we did that thing. But get this, I played really well. And so I did whatever anyone would do. I decided then that at the end of the tournament that I was going to go and I was going to pursue debauchery. Not proud of this. I was a believer at the time. But I knew in my heart, I'm going to go out. I'm going to pursue debauchery. It's going to involve alcohol and women. And everything inside of me, the Holy Spirit was convicting my heart the whole time. And I did what many of us do, just kind of turn up the noise. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not listening to you, Jesus. And so, but get this. So I pursued debauchery. But then, do you know that even to this day, if I think back to that time, I can feel shame bubble up inside of me. Like I got to preach the gospel to myself in those moments, because I did something that some things that I regret till today. And so, do you know that David was on a similar course? King David. If you remember, it says that he was the king of Israel, and it was a time for kings to go to war, but David wasn't going to war. He was going to pursue sin. And David went up to the rooftop, and there he saw a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba. The name Bathsheba, it can mean voluptuous. So I'll let you, fill in the blanks there, but David sees this woman showering on the rooftop, and he inquires of his servant. He says, "Who is this woman?" And then catch this: what the servant, how the servant replied. He says, "Oh, that's Bathsheba, Eliab's daughter, and Uriah's wife." And so I want you to see the goodness of God in that statement. Like by God's grace and God's design, this servant is setting up roadblocks for David's pursuit of sin. He says, that's Eliab's daughter. Man, that's a man's baby girl that you're about to take advantage of. He says, that's Uriah's wife. Bro, that's another man's wife that you're about to, like the two are one, and now you're going to go and wreck a man's marriage with his wife. And so he sets up all these roadblocks. And what does David do? Plows right through every one. And much like me, at the Olympic festival, David is filled with guilt and shame. And because of that night, one night of pleasure, it would set off and begin to unravel his kingdom and his family. And so I say these things. See, it's very clear to us when we pursue sin. But here's what I want to ask you this morning. Here's the question you need to answer. What would happen if you took the energy, life, and vitality you used to point towards sin, and now point that towards pursuit of Almighty God? Like I remember when I was going to go sin, I would make sacrifices, man. I would lose sleep. I would miss meals just to go pursue my sin. But man, what are you sacrificing in your pursuit of Jesus, right? The book of Romans is going to tell us that you and I, we're to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. And so what are you sacrificing of your time, your finances or whatever, in order to pursue Jesus? I know this, that there's times I would have to plan and scheme in order to pursue my sin. And here's the question you got to answer. How are you planning to win in your pursuit of Jesus? How are you planning to win? Like if you're not making a plan, then you're planning to fail. It's just the reality. Like when I go into the gym, I can tell which guys have a plan and which guys don't have a plan. Like the guys that don't have a plan, they're usually extremely out of shape and they're just jumping from machine to machine, hoping something will work. That's not a way to get fit. What you do is you draw up a plan and you work the plan consistently again and again. Paul is going to say in 1 Timothy that we're to train ourselves to be godly. And so how are you planning to pursue Jesus well and win? Here's point number two is this. Now stand, right? And so it says, now nor stands in the way of sinners. And so here's what I want you to see is like this idea. So now you're not pursuing, you're passive. But the reality is this, is that there is no neutral ground. Like, to not pursue Jesus actively is to passively be pursuing conformity to the world. Like, I want to say that, like, you're always being discipled. You're either being discipled by Jesus or the world. There is no in between. So I wrote it down like this, to not actively pursue Jesus is to be passively conformed to this world. To not actively pursue Jesus is to be passively conformed to this world. I'll prove it to you this way. So I lived in Canada for about 4 years. And so there's two things I love about Canada. Number one, my wife, and Tim Hortons. Okay. And so I found my wife in Canada. And then I also enjoyed Tim Hortons. The coffee is delicious. Glory to God. Okay. But so I'm half Canadian now, man. I got a married girl, the two shall become one. So I'm half Canadian. So I can make fun of my Canadian brothers and sisters here. All right. And I'm about to do it. So listen, when I first moved to Canada, here's what I thought. I thought they talked funny. And hey, they do. I mean, they don't say Z, they call it Zed. Like, it's not a Z28, bro. It's a Z28. They'll say, eh? Eh? And I get the occasional, yeah? Yeah? Oh, man. So driving me crazy. So they talk funny, all right? Can we just say amen to that? They eat funny things. Now, I'm going to give them poutine. If you don't know what poutine is, it's fries with gravy and cheese curds on top, and it's fantastic. So Canada, I'm going to give you that. But then there's some really weird stuff you guys eat, man. Like you like ketchup potato chips. Oh my gosh. And then when I went there, they would take their French fries and they would put vinegar all over them. I'm like, why would you destroy your French fries like that? And for the record, in Canada, beer is one of the four major food groups because they seem to have it with every meal. And so they eat weird food, man. They also dress and look funny. Like when I was there, man, the mullet was in, bro. The mullet was in. And here's the reality. Despite the fact I didn't like any of that stuff, do you know, by the time my first year in Canada was over, I was the mullet wearing, vinegar eating on my fries, a guy. like I didn't even mean to do it, and yet passively, the world around me began to mold me and shape me, disciple me. And so you need to be aware of that. And so what we need to do is, the psalmist is telling us, orient our lives around living water, around living water. And so that's why we're constantly harping on, you need to be a part of a small group, a connect group. You need to not go to church. You need to belong to a church. Because what you're in effect doing, you're surrounding yourselves with other Christians, with living water. So we have Pastor Jacob Araza. He's a pastor and friend. He pastors down in New Orleans. And, you know, when you go down to New Orleans, like Mardi Gras and stuff, there's all kinds of tarot card readers and palm readers. And so he'll go down and he'll ask people, do you want me to read your palms? They're like, yes, yes. And so he'll get it out. And then what he'll do is he'll open up their palm and he'll be like, huh? And he says, tell me the name of your five closest friends. And so he does them all. He goes, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because who we orient our life around, you will become the cumulative total of those that are around you. You just will. And so, hey, that can be a good thing. If you surround yourself with people that ferociously love Jesus, guess what? Some of that's going to get on you. Pastor Shino Prater, who helped us start the church here in New Jersey, he's a really holy, holy guy. Like I'm much more rough around the edges, but here's what I know. As I hang around with Shino, suddenly, man, some of that holiness and that stuff, I start becoming, my conscience becomes more tender and I'm more aware of things that, man, I probably shouldn't be looking at that. All right. Pastor Dottie Flanagan, she is unbelievably loving. I'm a little bit more, hey, black and white, matter of fact, let's go, let's roll. But yet when I'm around Pastor Dottie, some of that compassion for people, it starts to rub off on me. And so we need to orient our lives around streams of living water. Another thing we need to do is we orient our life around the Word of God. Man, it says that we're to delight ourselves in the law of God. And so here's what I would do is I remember early in my Christian faith, I promise myself, I'm like, Lord, I'm going to read one chapter of your word every day for the rest of my life. Listen, I'm not a heavily educated man or any of that, but I can read one chapter a day. And I began to consume one chapter a day. And you know what? Some days I had no idea what I was reading. Some days I'd fall asleep while I'm reading. And yet, do you know what the scriptures say? That our Bible, that these are the words of God, and that it's living and it's active. And as you put that word of God on the inside of you, it starts to reorient our heart. It starts to renew our mind. And so are you orienting your life around streams of living water? Okay. But where you stand, are you standing on the word of God? And here's a point number three is this. He says, don't sit in the seat of mockers. Don't sit in the seat of mockers. So we got walk, stand, and now we got sit. And this is the idea of that, man, you're planted, you're dug in. And I want to highlight something. Like if you're a Christ follower today, that you and I were planted in a Genesis 3 sinful world. But get this, we're protected by Almighty God in it. I love the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, verse 15. Jesus prays like this. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. See, Jesus is praying, though we're planted in a sinful, broken world, that he's going to protect us from the evil one. And some of the ways that we're protected is this, like one is prayer. One is prayer. Like, do you know that you can literally protect your soul from fear and anxiety? What? By prayer. By prayer. Let me read to you Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So did you catch that? That care becomes a signal to prayer. Care becomes a signal to prayer. And so when you feel care, anxiety, bubble up, man, God is going to, he gives us the clue is to go and goes directly to prayer. And so do you know that prayer also protects our heart? It protects our heart. So I fall asleep very quickly. Don't believe me, ask my wife. Like, she's got a race to get to sleep because I'm a bit of a snorer, and she's like, poor thing, sometimes wakes up with pillow over her head. So pray for my poor wife. But before I give up the ghost and go to sleep, I pray Psalm 51 each and every night. And that's this, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. That as I pray that prayer, I believe that God is doing something, protecting me, renewing me on the inside. And so we don't always need to be protected from the world. Sometimes you need to be protected from you, like we just do. So we're dog people here at Every Nation New Jersey. And so we can be reconciled with cat people through the cross of Christ. But my prized dog, Bentley. All right, Bentley, greatest looking dog on the planet. Great. He's just so loyal and in that. But Bentley, he had himself a little tumor, so we had to get that removed. And get this, he kept licking the stitches out. And so it would reopen. And so we had to give him the cone of shame. Have you seen this? That big, massive dog cone you put on your dog. And that poor thing's bumping into walls and doing this. But we put it on it. Why? I need to protect him from him. Okay. And we need to get some of those for Christians. Like I think too often Christians, you give yourself too much credit and you need to build defenses in your life to protect you from you. And that's why we preach small groups, being in relationship with other believers. It's why we preach accountability to protect you from you. It's why I recommend every dude should have covenant eyes on their devices to just keep them accountable to what they're looking at on their devices. Every guy should have that thing on there. And so, so here's the last thing is, as we talk about protecting ourselves, sometimes we got to say no to some things. They're not sinful, but they're also not helpful. And so you have to take inventory of your life and of your heart. Like sometimes you have to say no to some things that you can say yes to other things. And so I'm a parent. Like it says this, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes my mouth is an indicator of what's going on in my heart. And I know this, if I watch too much TV or listen to kind of too much secular music, you know what happens? My mouth gets lazy and I start saying things that I wouldn't say, and it's a red flag for me. You know what? I need to say no to some stuff for a season. You know, sometimes I'll laugh at stuff that is not funny. In fact, it's deplorable in the eyes of God. And I realize, oh my goodness, my heart has become hardened. Man, I need to take, I can't watch as much TV. I can't do as much online. Why? Because it's affecting my heart. And so sometimes we have to protect ourselves from ourselves. And so walk. Are you pursuing God? Number two is stand. Remember, to not actively pursue God is to passively be conformed to the world. And then thirdly, seated. And so though you're planted in a Genesis 3 world, what are you doing in your life to protect yourself and guard your heart? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time this morning and just for your word, that it's living, it's active. Father, I thank you that you're for us. And God, that you, Lord, you want to bless us. And so, Lord, as we learn to walk, stand, and sit in pursuit of you, Jesus, Lord, thank you that you're going to meet us with blessing and a life that's flourishing. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, listen, God bless you, every nation in New Jersey. The sermon's over with, but I do want to remind you that you can remain faithful in your tithing and your giving. A tithe simply means a tenth. And we firmly believe that a tenth of everything that we make and that comes in, that we give back to the Lord as a form of worship and obedience. But the great news is this, is that God promises that as we lay down the tithe before him, that he would open up the windows of heaven blessing and pour out a tremendous blessing and provide for his people. And so there's three ways that you can give. Number one, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. Just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. My family and I give this way. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Or if you're old school, you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church at 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And as always, may God richly bless you as you're faithful in your giving. And then finally, I want to just remind you of our virtual Zoom ministry. It takes place at 11 a.m. each and every Sunday. The number should be coming up on your screen. And then if you just dial in, you can speak directly to a pastor. Perhaps you have questions about the church, questions about the sermon, or you simply need prayer. So there'll be someone available to minister to you. And so listen, every nation, God loves you, and I think you're pretty great too. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.